Let's all say amen.
Amen.
I want to be thankful to all the brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service on this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say good morning to everyone.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Highland Heights Church of Christ. And those that are visiting with us, we want to thank you for being with us to worship God in spirit and in truth. Luke wrote in Luke chapter 2 and verse 42, how we are to worship God, or how they first worship God, when he said, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So what you found that when they assembled to worship God after his ascension, they had teaching from the word of God. They also fellowship is when we share. The word fellowship means to share. We give back to God a portion of what God has blessed us with. Amen?
Amen.
And then in breaking the bread, we commune with the Lord. Our minds ought to go back to the suffering of Christ on the cross for our sins, and we have prayer. And then Luke said, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You're here on this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church. We want to say with love, we want you to become saved. The only way you become saved, you have to obey the word of God. Amen? And so we want you to be added this morning. You're visiting with us, someone that you're visiting, and you are with someone. We want you to understand it's my responsibility to share with you that information that everyone needs to know that they can be added to the Lord's church. No one that is of the age of accountability is saved from their sin until they obey the Lord. Yeah, amen, amen. On this morning, I want to speak particularly to the fathers on today. Bring this mic down here. Let me say happy Father's Day, fathers. Yeah, happy Father's Day, happy Father's Day, yeah. The father, being the person whom God has designated to be the leader of the home. So I want to talk to the fathers this morning. And I want to speak from the subject we find in the text. Thank little brother Butte reading for us on this morning. After he helped me with one of the words, he said privately. Yeah, thank you, brother Butte, on that. Yeah, but I want to speak from the subject. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Yeah. Joseph was the husband of Mary. And the Bible says, a record for us, that Joseph was a just man. Man. Amen. Just man. Joseph was. He was a husband. He was a father. But he also was a just man. Amen?
Amen.
Let us unpack this morning. The Bible says, or reads, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The word espouses, the word means to be promised in marriage. Yeah. This word has a similar meaning to being engaged. They was engaged, meaning you promised you're gonna marry me. But before the marriage, Mary came up pregnant. Yeah. Mary came up pregnant. So Joseph was engaged to Mary, and he found out she was pregnant. And the Bible reads, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, public example means to make something secret publicly known. So the Bible says, because he was a just man, fathers, listen to this. Because he was a just man, the Bible says, he didn't want to make it public. However, Joseph knew he was not responsible for Mary's pregnancy. That's why he had a mind. Yeah, we got to stop this. Yeah, I'm engaged to you, and next thing I know, yeah, it's on the street. Somebody done something. But Joseph was a just man. Yeah, Joseph was. When you are a just husband, there is no need to explain to others why you choose to do what you do. Amen. Listen, husbands, no reason to go make it public. You don't have to tell nobody. Yeah. The Bible says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get to that text. That's me. I'm sorry, I didn't put that there. Let me read that again. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away. Found out in this process before we got, you promised to me, Mary, and you're supposed to marry me, and I find out that you're pregnant. But I'm a just man. Yeah, I'm a just man. We gonna stop this. But I'm a just man. Joseph was. So there's a way of doing things when you just. Amen. The word just means a state of being right or displaying right behavior. Yeah, see, when you are just husband, when you are just father, you're going to display right behavior. Yeah. How am I a husband? How is it that I am to display right behavior? Well, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Thank you. Yeah, so when you are just, you live by, yeah, you can say it. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by the word of. So when you are a just person, in order to display right behavior, you have to learn the word of God. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I need to be being taught and understand what the Word of God says to me as a husband, what the Word of God says to me as a father, and then if I have my parents, what the Word of God says to me as a child, to them, because I'm still their child, no matter how old I get. Yeah, be careful that they're still your parent. Yeah, I don't care how old you get, how much money you think you're making. Yeah, they're still your parent. And when I address them, it's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Put a handle on it. Now, you're not going to speak to me and say no and yeah. Now, you may say that with your partners in the street, but you're not going to come here. Yeah, you're going to respect in this house. Yeah. And then when you get to the point where you don't want to put no handle on that, then just turn in your door key. Yeah, they got apartments. They're building them up every day. They got apartments. All day. Yeah, they got apartments. Yeah, so when you get to the point that you think you want to, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to come in at a certain time, you want to do what you do, you need your own place. Yeah. That's what you need. Let me get back to my decks here. Yeah. So the Bible says, I just want to just say that, because sometimes, you know, children as they grow up, you know, and they start getting about your height, yeah, the young people, you say you starting to smell. Yeah. Yeah, and then sometimes they get so big, I mean, you know you need a 4x4 to deal with them. Yeah, but I ain't finna hurt my hands on no 4x4. Turn in your key. Turn in your key. Now, I'm not going, No, that's okay. That's okay. Sister Al, give me the number to law enforcement. We gonna move him out of here. Amen. You know, I ain't going nowhere. Yes, you are. Yes, you gonna move today. Amen. That's not my subject. I think we ought to talk about these things. Amen. Yeah. You staying here and you living here and there's only one person here that I'm buying food for. Everybody else needs to take care of themselves. Sometimes we got grown folks in the house and they ain't looking for no job, they ain't trying to find no job, and they eat more groceries than me, and I come home from work every day. Something wrong with that picture. Something wrong with it. Yeah. Well, let me stay with my y'all. See, you guys gotta be nice. Let's stay with the text. So the Bible says, but while he thought on these things, he's thinking about that. The Bible said, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. See, because Joseph was a just man, he had chose to show mercy because of his affection for Mary. See, when you in a relationship and when you have affection for a person, there's things you won't do because of your affection. Yeah. You have affection for somebody, you don't put your hands on somebody you have affection for. Yeah. I don't care how mad I get with Sister Stroud, I will never put my hands on her. And she told me one time, she said, let me tell you something. I think we were first in our marriage. Yeah, let me drop this set and say, we first got married. She said, let me tell you something. If you ever put your hands on me, that's going to be the last time you ever put your hands on me, because I won't be here no more. Yeah. And that kind of, I don't care how mad I got, I knew where to keep my hand. Yeah. Sometimes you have to tell people things. Yeah. You got to behave yourself. I don't care if you get mad because I blew the money and I did all this stuff. Keep your hands to yourself. And so the angel of the Lord confirmed to Joseph that Mary had not done anything wrong. That's in this situation. But you have situations sometimes where people do wrong. Amen. But when you have affection for them, let me say this while I'm here. I'm talking about my husband and father. I've learned in my marriage counseling, and I would share this over when I counsel people. I said, let me tell you this here. There's not any marriage that can't be restored if both parties are willing to listen to Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Now, sometimes you find that because of what someone may have done, sometimes one of the parties quit in the marriage. I mean, they give up on it. And even though they're there, they didn't give up on it. Now, there's nothing you can do when they didn't give up on it. Amen? But if both parties are willing to listen to Jesus, because all I share with them, I say, let me just share this here with you. I'm going to share with you what the Lord says, and it's up to you all to do the homework, to work on it. Yeah, all I'm designed to do from the Word of God, as Jesus said in Matthew 9:12, I'm just giving you a prescription. Sometimes we don't want to take the Yeah, people don't want to take medicine. How you going to get well and you don't want to take nothing for it? And so we find, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now I got to unpack this verse because there's a lot of meat in that verse, and I'm trying to help us. Joseph became the foster parent of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What do you mean by foster parent, Brother Stroud? A foster parent is one who provides parental care, though not related by blood. Yeah. Joseph was a foster parent of Jesus. We'll see how he conducted himself. But Joseph also was a just man. He was a just father. Yeah. And so I want to share with us, because I'm learning this, and we living in 2023 now. Yeah. Today, some people use the term step-parent. Yeah. Let me offer us some help in this area. The first thing I would do is take the step out. Yeah. Yeah. Because see, when you put somebody on the step, they're not on the same level playing field. Yeah. Yeah. That's your stepchild. That's your step-parent. Yeah. See, that's where stuff starts, right there. Yeah. Let me say this while I'm going across this surface. You know, that was a movie long ago. Me and my wife enjoyed that movie. We watched it when I think they did it maybe in black and white, then they did a redoing of it, and we enjoyed that. The movie was called Yours, Mine, and Ours. Yeah, see, we watch PG movies and stuff like that. Y'all, that probably ain't high enough for y'all. Yeah, but we watched that. And so in the movie, you had where the person, yours, those are my children, yours. And then you had mine. And then we had ours. Yeah. And what I found, and this has been consistent, generally when you're doing marriage counseling, there's no issue with the ours because they belong to both of you. Yeah. Yeah. He can whoop that child till he can't move. Ours. However, when it comes to yours, there's some hesitation on you disciplining hers because that ain't. And then when it comes to mine, oftentimes, because now we live in a society where families are blended. Amen? And so oftentimes, when you meet someone, the children generally stay with the mother. Just like your children are with their. And so sometimes, you know, we want to be that father we want to be, so we want mine to be able to come over and stay with ours and yours. And sometimes that can become an issue. Because when she come over there, sometimes, I say it all the time now, sometimes her mother tell her, she by not put her hands on you and she by not tell you what to do. And if she do, you call me. And see, you as a father, you know what you had when you was out there. And you know how she is. And so when she come over there, what you are not mindful of, when you are a just father, everybody is treated the same. Yeah. You don't send you don't send our children to bed at 9 o'clock and then cause she over, she can stay up to 12 o'clock. Yeah. And then when she comes over, she can begin to disrespect your wife. Now, I want you over here. And I love you being here, but understand this. If you can't respect my wife, yeah, they got text messages. Yeah. Yeah. And so, being a just father, take the step out. The child comes, you got to have rules and regulation when she come in the door. Yeah, that's how it's gonna be. You know, and then let me just say this here too. If by chance you're talking to her mother, you don't go in no room and have that conversation. Everything you do is, like Joseph, is public information. I'm just saying. you go off into the room and your wife and don't know what you're talking about. Honey, I'd love to have you over here. However, now, you know, you about the same age as daughter here, and then we got rules here. I love you, and I want to be here, and I want to have you on weekends, whatever the case may be. But understand, there's only two adults in this house, and you're going to have to respect both of them equally. Well, my mama said, no, you ain't with your mama. And she told me, don't matter what she told you, I'm laying down the law in this house because I'm the father. Yeah. And sometimes you don't be careful. Let me say this here too while I'm there. Be careful, people, that you don't force somebody on them children. Yeah. Because see, now children, when they get to be teenagers, they can tear up a marriage 10 ways asunder. Because they're going to go to school and they get with their peers. Child, that ain't your daddy. He ain't got no business telling you what to. And they come home with that stuff. Yeah. So I'm saying to parents, your first responsibility is to that child. Yeah. And sometimes I may have to kind of put my life on hold till them children are grown and yeah, you go marry whoever you want to marry. But I'm just saying to us, sometimes, as a parent, you're a single parent, your first responsibility is not to those children, not to your affections. I say amen. Yeah, because this happens. This is 2023. Yeah, sometime, and guess what happened? You end up forcing that person on your children, and then after all said and done, the whole house tore up. Because children can sabotage that relationship. I'm just saying, you know. If that person don't win over those children. Yeah. Well, I need some. Well, I know what you need or what you want. But the last time I heard, no children asked to come into this world. Now, that's the last time. It may be changed now because they're doing a lot of stuff now. Yeah, but I know the last time, no children asked to be here. So when they came here, they are the responsibility of the person that brought them here. That's your first responsibility. Yeah. Amen? And so but Joseph dealt with that, man. Joseph dealt with that. And Joseph was able to keep the family because he was a just man. See, when you are just, you look to the word of God. Now, Joseph had an angel of the Lord come to him and talk to him. But what we have today, we have the word of God to talk to us. Yeah. I want to be a right husband, a just father. Go to the word of God. Study the word of God. So what are some of the actions of a just father? Yeah, I just thought I would go by that point and just, you know, we got to deal with that. So you got to, when you have a blended family, you got to learn how to conduct yourself, both parties. Yeah. Yours, mine, and ours. Yeah. It can be done. It can be done if we're willing to listen. Jesus, how do we know it? Because it was done here. Watch what happened here. The Bible said when they talked about Jesus, they said, is not this the carpenter's son? And is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, that's who wrote the letter of James, that's his brother, and Hosea, and Simon, and Judas. So after Joseph was a foster parent, they had children after that. Wasn't no problem. And you read that verse 56 says, Matthew 13, 56, not only did he have brothers, the Bible says in verse number 56, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Yeah. House full of kids. House full of kids. But when you are just man, you deal with that. Yeah. I know Jesus was the first child. We got children out there, but we all gonna work together. Yeah, blended family can work together if you wouldn't listen to Jesus. Yeah. We're gonna listen to Jesus. So the first thing we see from verse 55, that as a father, say this here, you will provide for your family if you are physically able. Amen? Yeah, you provide. Joseph was a carpenter. That was his trade. And he provided for all those children. All of them. All of them. He was their father. Yeah. I don't see nowhere in the text they call Jesus a stepchild. Yeah, I don't see it in the text. So if it ain't in the text, yeah. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Yes. Jesus was his son just as much as all the other ones and his sisters. How full of kid. But because Joseph was a just man. But how do we get there, Brother Stroud? How do we become just men? Well, I think the Bible tells us that. I share that with you, and the message is yours. Father, I'm talking to us. Notice I said, not you, I'm talking to us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul says something to the children of God. He says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his what? Children. Yeah, right there in the text. That's all we need right there. It's there, right there. Right there. If I can understand as a father what it means to exhort, what it means to comfort, what it means to charge, I can get this down. Because Paul said, we did it with y'all. You all were children, and just like a father ought to do his children, this is what we did to you. So how do we deal with that, Paul? How do I deal with my children? Well, the first word, the word exalted, it means, let me get down, my notes. It means to try to influence someone by words or advice to urge them. Yeah. This is done in prospective, looking toward the future. So I'll use myself as an example. I tell my daughter, I say, well, now, my advice is that you go on to college and get you a degree because you're limited when all you have is a high school diploma. Yeah. Why? Because I'm looking at her. Yeah, you need to go to school. Go to school, go to school. And let me say this to you. As long as you at home, as long as you at home, as long as you ain't got no bills to pay, as long as you stand some, get all the education you can. Yeah, get all of it. As long as you here, get all of it. Dad, I want to go get your master's, girl. Dad, while I'm here, I want to go get it. Go get it. Why? Because I'm looking at her. Yeah. So fathers, we are to exhort our children. Try to influence them. Urge them. Yeah. Because I know today, you know, it's almost mandatory now you have computer skills. Be IT literate now, mandatory. So I'm exhorting them. Girl, well, Dad, I think I want to go ahead, go get it. But I don't know, go get it. Yeah, you grown, go get it. While you here, while you working, pay for your own classes. Because you grown. Yeah. One of my daughters, she got to be a teenager. And I'm not going to say which one because I know you guys. But I told her, look here. I said, you know you, something. Now, she said, yeah, I know, Daddy. She said, I said, guess what? I said, what, Daddy? I said, your allowance stops today. Yeah. Well, let me help you now. I'm going to help you. I'm going to share with somebody. I want you to go see this person here and see if they'll give you a job. Because you're not getting no more allowance. Not from here. So Stroud get all allowance now. Yeah. So we see that? That's exhorting them. That's part of what fathers should be doing. Exhorting them. Why? Because we're looking to their future. And secondly, Paul said about what a father should be doing. Paul said the father should comfort them. That means to try to make someone feel less disappointed regarding a failure. It is to console and encourage them. This is retrospective, looking back at past experience. Because sometimes our kids, they make mistakes, they fail. Amen. They fail. And when they fail, we still have to console and then encourage them. Well, Daddy, I want to do this and I want to do that. I want to do this. And I say, well, hold on now. Hold on. Remember, you done tried that 4 times. You know what I'm saying? So, retrospective, you look back at their track record. That make sense? Yeah. Look at their track record. Because sometimes kids want to do what they want to do, and they still are basically in quicksand. They're not making no moves. So you got to go to them and say, honey, I need to talk to you. Yeah. Now, I know the person is disappointed from the text definition because of failure. So I got to, sometimes you have to become like an inner tube, you got to pump them back up. But you got to tell them where the holes are in their life. Yeah. So let's look at that. Now, you got to do something different, honey. Yeah. The Lord, I'm from the teaching, I gotta console you, I got to encourage you, but understand this here, you got to get back out there. Yeah. Yeah. You can't come here and, well, it's going to take me 6 months to find myself. No, you ain't going to take no 6 months to find yourself here. Not here you won't. No, I got to find myself. No, you can find yourself out there. But here you need to, I got to get you ready to go back out there. Yeah. Children will fail. They go because we failed. But we had to get back out there. They have to go back out there. Understand it. Look at the past experience. Look at the mistakes you made. Let's correct them. Go back out there. So I got a comfort as a father. Not only I exhort, but I also have to comfort. And then Paul said something, third part. Paul said you have to charge your children. Yeah. Charge means something said that shows your disagreement with or disapproval of something to protest. Well, Daddy, I'm thinking about me and him just living together for a while. I don't agree with it. I don't approve of it. And I'm protesting against it. We should never support our children when they're not doing something spiritual. Okay, how much you love them? Somebody said, well, love got to. Yeah. This is done to stop whatever it is. Sometimes we got to stop our children. You got now, and they grown, and they gone. You can still put. Sometimes, parents, we don't want to say nothing because they're like, "Don't matter. I'm still gonna tell you I don't approve of what you're doing. Now you go do what you want to do." But I'm letting you know, I protest what you're doing. Yes. But Daddy, you don't understand. I'm not trying to. Yeah. Because my understanding comes from the Word of God. But you just don't see. I'm not trying to. I know what you're doing is not Christian behavior. So I'm letting you know now, Daddy, what you think. I'm going to tell you what I think. Sometimes kids they think they smart. When they're going to do something that you don't agree with, they won't even come at you. They'll just go do it. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But guess what? You know how I raised you, and you know I done taught you right from. Yeah. That's why when we at home, we need to be parenting our children. And not just letting them take these video games. Now, you know, nowadays, kids, they'll get in a video game. They don't even speak. You may not even talk to them the whole day. Yeah, we had a rule when I was growing up. I know y'all can't enforce this, but I did that in mine. We get in the car, and everybody had the age where they had a cell phone. I say, nobody turn on no cell phones while we're in the car together. We're going to enjoy each other. Because kids in their home, they will go and get that little phone, the little laptop, the little screen, and they gone. And sometimes you don't know what they're watching or what they're doing. Because they're doing something that they don't want you to see. They know how to hide it from you. So as a father, these are the responsibilities that Paul shared with the Thessalonians, that he parentally cared for them. He exhorted them. He comforted them. Then sometimes he charged them. That's why he said in the second letter, if a man don't work, he ought not what? Yeah. Yeah. No, you ain't working, you ain't eating. Yeah. And then, as I close, why do we do this, fathers? Why? Why do we do this? Paul said it. He said that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. You want your children to live a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. That's why, fathers, that's why we exhort them, that's why we comfort them, and when necessary, that's why we charge them. Why? Because we want them to walk worthy of God. Yeah. We have our children in the Lord's church, and we don't know what they're doing. But when the time comes, let them know. Amen. Why? Because we want them, Paul said it, to walk worthy of God. Amen? Amen. So, fathers, hopefully today I share something with you from the Word of God. That if we go back and study and look at it, we can be the type of fathers God wants us to be. We just have to learn and apply the Word of God. It's my responsibility to share with you from the Word of God what God says to all of us, just like I did with the mothers, Mother's Day. They were the fathers. Yeah, today. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. That's what just men do. Amen? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, let me close this up. I'd like to share with people from Paul's letter to Timothy. He said, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, that man is Jesus Christ. So what you need to know is that God the Father sent down the Son. What the Son did, he gave his life a ransom for all of us because we have sinned. So we say that a ransom is something paid for the release of someone from captivity. Christ gave up his life in an atonement for sin, and it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions stated in the Bible. So what are conditions stated in the Bible for me to become a child of God, to become a Christian, to have my sins washed away? Well, Jesus said all these things I'm showing you now. The Bible says in Luke 11, 28, Jesus said, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So you first have to hear the word of God. Secondly, Jesus answered and said unto them, John 6, 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. So you got to believe that God the Father sent Jesus Christ the Son. Then thirdly, Luke 13, 3, Jesus, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So you have to turn from the life you've been living because you've been living it without God. I don't care how you think you've been living, you've still been living it without God. You have to repent. You turn, it begins with turning toward God and God's word. Then you have to make confession. Jesus said this, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You have to come down here and make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, found in Acts 8:37. That's what the eunuch said before he got baptized. And then Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, he said, and then go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, and he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You have to be water baptized. And I'll share this again clearly. No one that's not a Christian can teach you how to become a Christian. Amen. Some people say, well, I was baptized in the denomination church. Nobody that's not a Christian can teach you how to become a Christian because they're not a Christian. Yeah. It takes someone who's been taught and baptized and they are a Christian to teach you how to become a Christian. Amen. Bible said, praising God, I begin with this. Having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. So we want you to be added to the church so you'll be saved from your past sins. What is the church? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers called out from the world over which Christ is ahead. And then we find, what the name or description of the church? Paul, when he wrote to Roman, he said, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ. There's only one church in the Bible. Jesus paid his blood for it, Acts 20:28. He paid for it. So if you're here today, you'd like to respond to the gospel message, or you one that want to choose to serve with us here at Highland Heights, we're going to bid you to come as my brother come and lead us in a verse of a song. Amen? Please stand.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. Hear, oh, hear him calling, calling now for thee. Though you wander so far from his presence, come today. Hear the living voice calling still. Call
if anyone like
me now for thee. Oh, hear me, prodigal, come. Prodigal come.